Neil Haley's show, and I'm excited to welcome first David Hollenbach of Hollenbach Leadership. David, how are you? And first and last and everything, but it's 7:30 at night, and we're going to be talking some interesting stuff regarding PTSD. First, the ACE study, and we talked about this on the show before in a deeper way, but the ACE study is an interesting one that doesn't identify PTSD, but really gives you an understanding. Can you define what the ACE study is?
ACE is an acronym for Adverse Childhood Experiences. So the ACE study was done on, it began as a study of obesity in adolescents. And what they were finding was, there's all these health related issues that come with adverse childhood experiences, and they carry on throughout your life, depending on how severe they are. But on my website, HollenbachLeadership.com, mental health resources, there's right at the upper part of the page is the ACE study, and there's a graphic that talks about the 10 different areas that they look at. And you score yourself 0 to 10, zero being you've had no adverse childhood experiences, and 10, all of these major adverse childhood experiences. So I'll list them: emotional abuse, physical abuse, sexual abuse.
And those emotional abuse doesn't have to be by your parents. It's an experience at school or something, right?
Yeah. It's usually going to be somebody that you look up to. These are perpetrated by adults towards children, as I understand it. And I guess it could be older children as well.
Bullying, couldn't that cause emotional abuse? That could lead.
So there's, if you have endured emotional abuse as a child, that's one. Physical abuse, sexual abuse, emotional neglect, physical neglect. If you witnessed your mother being battered, if there was a parental separation or a divorce, mental illness in the household, substance abuse in the household, that can be drugs or alcohol. And then if you had an incarcerated household member, whether it's a sibling or a parent or an adult figure that was in your home. So those are the 10. And the higher your ACE score, the more likely you are to have health issues and mental health issues later on in life.
So that you take the percentages to figure out your ACE score?
No, the percentages is, the percentage of people that have, experienced that particular experience, like emotional abuse. Of the people studied, 10.2% have experienced emotional abuse. Physical abuse, that's the highest one at 26.4%. Sexual abuse is pretty high as well, 21%.
All right. Well, I got it.
The physical abuse is higher than the divorce rate, 24.1%. I misspoke. Substance abuse in the household was the highest at 28.2%.
Yeah. So if you go ahead and say this is all ones, you add them up, right? If you as a child experienced emotional abuse, that's one. The ACE is it a point each one of them. And the more points you have of dealing with that stuff as a child, the higher your ACE score is?
Yes, exactly.
So for example, I'm not going to tell you what I've gone through, but I don't have a huge ACE score. I maybe have maybe one thing I've gone through, which all of us have gone through in some sort, some form of bullying, but nothing else on that list. So I'm in pretty good shape. A two, you're still okay. But when you're looking at a four or a five or a six, you're really in some tough, you're going to be dealing with a lot, right?
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Yeah. Interesting. Okay. So let's jump right to there to now the PTSD. We're going to go through the scale to figure out, you know, figuring out PTSD, because that's, so did you use the ACE study in a way to see the more chance that you're going to have PTSD from the ACE?
No, I mean, the higher your ACE score, the more susceptible you are to PTSD and mental health issues. So, you know, a lot of what you endure on that ACE scale, you know, a lot of children, you know, a lot of adults have PTSD from their childhood. And don't really, or, you know, they're not really aware of it.
100%. All right. So let's kind of go really deeper into this PTSD scale. You have a lot of different checklists from DMS5, past month, past week, criterion A, which one should we look at first?
Well, I've got criterion A pulled up.
Okay. So I'll pull up criterion A with you. Okay. All right. And this is a quick, so they go how long it happened. So it starts with the whole process, right? So kind of take us down through what happened, what we're looking at.
So this is the PTSD checklist for the DSM-5 with the criterion A.
Okay.
So, you know, it explains it. It actually gives you instructions on how to use this questionnaire. Yeah, it's basically a history gathering tool, so that, you know, the person that may or may not have PTSD fills this out, and the practitioner can look at this and, you know, essentially diagnose. And that's my understanding of it. I am not a mental health professional, so. You know, I could be wrong about that, but.
All right. So basically the first question is, did it involve actual, so how long ago has it happened, specifically some sort of real traumatic event, right?
Right.
And then did it involve actual or threatened death, serious injury, or sexual violence? Is that the first thing you go with?
Yes.
Okay. And so have you seen people PTSD that involving in the game, we talked about the ACE study. Some of these aren't sexual violence, serious injury, or threatened death. And people have PTSD. Is that correct?
Oh, yeah. I mean, well, I mean, so actual or threatened death, you know, it could be you saw somebody that was deceased, you know, or saw somebody that endured a serious injury. You know, there is complex PTSD also that is multiple areas of trauma. So, you know, this isn't an.
So, there's some people that go ahead and diagnose themselves with PTSD. And if you've not been involved in actual or threatened death, serious injury, or sexual violence, then you don't have PTSD.
That's how this is laid out. Yeah.
Hmm. So why are some people coming out with PTSD saying they have PTSD based on abuse, verbal abuse? Is that something different? Is that more to that? That's where the DMS-5 has to kind of look at things deeper.
Yeah.
About verbal abuse.
Yeah. I would say that's accurate.
Yeah. So interesting. We'll look at the other one. So then basically, if you've gone through any of these things, did it happen to you, or did you witness it? Are you learning about happening to the close member? So you could get PTSD from a close member going through this. Is that correct?
Yeah.
Or repeatedly exposed to details about it and part of my job, which you do all the time. That's so you're adding multiple things. If the event involved the death of a close family member, that's another big thing. And the second blow is the list of problems that people sometimes have response to a stressful experience, keeping your worst event in mind. So there is another one, your worst event. So that can come as another one, right?
Yeah. What is it that you're looking
at? It says second below is a list of problems that people sometimes have had in response to a very stressful experience. Keeping your worst event in mind, please read each problem carefully and then select one of the numbers to write to indicate how much you've been bothered by the problem the past month. Right. Okay, these are the symptoms. So it has to be in this one. We'll look at another one as well, David, that other people say they have been diagnosed by medical professionals. And this is something to talk about, right? Because you put a label on somebody, they start to think it, that you have PTSD based on going through some verbal abuse or going through a real tough time at your job, and then they diagnose you with PTSD. That's where the question lies about health professionals diagnosing someone with PTSD compared to what you've gone through.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of it is theory, and a lot of it is really how somebody interprets trauma, you know, because if you endure a certain type of trauma and it's severe enough, it's possible to have PTSD from that.
Yeah, I think that you can look at the checklist for the PCL DSM-5. It talks and blows a list of problems that people might sometimes have in response to a very stressful experience. Keeping your worst event in mind, please read each problem. So your worst event, so it could be anything. So that would be an interesting thing to ask a professional, David, right? If it was verbal abuse, constant verbal abuse, now we go through this checklist to really identify if you have PTSD or not.
Yeah.
Repeating disturbing unwanted memories of a stressful experience. Repeated disturbing dreams of a stressful experience. Suddenly feeling or acting as if the stressful experience were actually happening again. Feeling very upset when something reminded you of that stressful experience. Having strong physical reactions when something reminded you of it. Avoiding memories. You know what, dude? I went through a stressful breakup and I went through this shit. It went away, but I went through almost half of this. So sometimes grief can lead to some of these things, and how long will it stay?
Yeah, there is definitely a gray area between grief and PTSD. I would say they overlap each other because grief can be pretty severe, you know?
So he says another one says avoiding memories, thoughts, or feelings related to the stressful experience. Yeah, you know, then avoiding external reminders. So that means you're, what does that mean? Are you or not? Because those things all can trigger stuff.
Yeah.
You can be triggered by things, and it could be from your childhood or it could be from an experience, and you're afraid to ever, you know, get out of bounds. So where's that more involving anxiety or PTSD? Do you see how the lines are very, that's why seeing a professional, but it's great resources, David. I mean, man, and I think that would be a great question to ask a professional that's streaming this right now or anybody. What is considered a stressful event, right? What is considered a level? But the problem is your level event is far different than someone just going through mental or verbal abuse, right? The constant amount of time can cause PTSD. And we have to relate it more. And our mental health system, how can we fix this, David? So that's the biggest concern I have. How can we really look at, we always look if someone's injured physically, we can figure it out. But mental health, we sure as hell can't.
Yeah, and I mean, mental health resources evolve every day. You know, I would say that the mental health resources around where I live have improved dramatically since, you know, when I first started in the fire service. You know, this was 25 years ago when I started in the fire service, actually longer than that, 27 years ago, 28 years ago, when I started in the fire service, mental health was not really a topic of discussion, you know, and you didn't talk about it. It was something that weak people had issues with, you know?
Totally. And now, yeah.
Yeah, there was a huge stigma. There still is to a degree, I would say. But people are more open to discussing PTSD and traumatic events than they were in the past.
100%. Let's talk about this now. I found another one of the resources. This is for the PCL5 and LEC5 criterion A. Be sure to consider entire life growing up as well. If you've gone through these events, natural disaster can potentially cause PTSD, fire explosion, transportation accident, serious accident, work, home, or recreational activity, exposure to toxic substance, physical assault, assault with a weapon, sexual assault, unwanted or uncomfortable sexual experience, combat exposure to war zone, life-threatening illness or injury, severe human suffering, sudden violent death, sudden accidental death, serious harm, death, and any other very stressful event or experience. Because certain things can be just a stressful event and experience based on the makeup of somebody.
Right.
So, absolutely. I mean, how, and that's what we don't understand is at the end of the day, people have to live in their own skin. And what we say to somebody can really affect some people very much and other people. And we just, as a society, don't look at that. About what is that, how is that person going to deal with the rest of their day based on our experience being around them, how we treat them, how we respect them, and all those things, because all that can lead to such chronic stress. I don't know how many people are on medication, 60% of the country. I think it's the number. It's ridiculous. And we're not trying to help mental health. And I'm glad we brought up some of these things, David. Anything to add after kind of sharing these resources?
Yeah. Well, one thing that I'd like to point out, you know, somebody that has had quite a few adverse childhood experiences, you know, they're more susceptible to anxiety, depression, that sort of thing, right? And I would say more susceptible to PTSD. You know, there's people that just have this ingrained resiliency that seem, you know, and I've been around these individuals in the fire service and, you know, law enforcement officers that, you know, seemingly, you know, are untouched by these traumatic events. And, you know, I look at them in retirement and they're, you know, doing great. So what's the difference between that individual and somebody else that, you know, goes through the same event and then experiences, you know, anxiety and depression and, you know, all these symptoms of PTSD, nightmares. And I would say, you know, if you look at their childhood, you know, you would probably more times than not find that they've got, you know, a higher than normal ACE score. Now, you know, when I look at mine, and this is, you know, personal information, you know, as a child, I endured emotional abuse, physical abuse, sexual abuse, emotional neglect, physical neglect. I watched my mother get beaten. I was a child of divorce. You know, my parents got divorced when I was 5 years old. My mother had severe mental illness, and there was substance abuse in my house.
Wow, that's a lot. Yeah.
That's 9 out of the 10. I am, you know, and I'm not saying this as a point of pride. This is, I am an exception. You know, and statistically speaking, I should not be here.
A client of mine, Derek Bowles, sent me something. Then I'm going to look this up now. I'm going to see if where that email was about men and suicide. And we'll finish up with this point. How many men are committing suicide every day? And it's really dramatic. We are really having a really, really bad situation when it comes to suicide. And I'm just trying to.
Well, now let me put this into perspective. I have 2 younger brothers. My middle brother, he passed away in 2010 from an overdose. So a lot of times it's not, you know, purposefully self-inflicted, but we do damage to our bodies, you know, through self-medication and that sort of thing. You know, it's unfortunate, you know, that is a very common story in our society.
Okay, so this has been a constant pattern since the 1990s. It equates that 17.2 deaths per 100,000 males is suicide. And so male suicide, I got a different number. That's from the UK. I was getting something crazy like 60,000 men a day commit suicide, 40 and over. So we're really seeing a thing happening. And because men are not able to do certain things, because our society, we're not to cry, our society, we're not to, you know, get, you know, really show our feelings. And there's a lot of things coming up, David, that we'll be talking about, especially with Derek Bowles talking about what he's trying to do to help men. Darnell Dinkins has something going up with this, another actor that's talking about that, so that as men, we have to figure out what's happening and why are we, there's so many of them now committing suicide after 40. I have to figure out those. I'll find out those numbers before I really go deeper into it, but they gave me a number that's dramatic, like 60,000 men a day are committing suicide. Hmm. So it's an epidemic and it's older men, 40 and over. So we'll have to definitely look into that further. Hollenbachleadership.com right now. To find information on David and purchase his book. And David, we'll kind of have another conversation next week going diving deeper into this subject matter, and I appreciate it.
All right, man.
All right. You're listening and watching The Neil Haley Show, and we'll be back in just a moment.